Good morning, friends. As we see the rise of COVID in our country, we certainly need to be praying for our country at this time and trusting that we will not see any major serious long-term effects of this new wave that's hit South Africa. But let's have a word of prayer before we turn to the word. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that in spite of what is happening around us, we still have your word, which is ever true and, Lord, ever comforting to us. We just pray, Lord, that even as we are reminded of the significance of this passage again today, that, Lord, we would be able to share the great truths contained in it with many. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, I'm going to be reading the passage today out of the New Living Translation. As I was reading, I found the New Living Translation quite refreshing in just trying to understand this particular passage in Hebrews. It's in many ways a summary of what has happened in the book of Hebrews now, and rather than just repeating what we've already read, I want to just read it with a just slightly different angle. It says, "The old system in the law of Moses was only a shadow of the things to come, not the reality of the good things Christ has done for us. The sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they had been able to provide perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshippers would have been cleansed and purified once for all, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But just the opposite happened. Those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their sins year after year, for it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why Christ, when he came into the world, said, 'You did not want animal sacrifice and grain sacrifice, but you have given me a body so that I may obey you. No, you were not pleased with animals burnt on the altar or with other offerings for sin. For then I said, Look, I have come to do your will, O God, just as it is written about me in the scriptures.' Christ said, 'You did not want animal sacrifices and grain offerings burnt on the altar or other sin offerings, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses.' Then he added, 'Look, I have come to do your will.' He cancels the first covenant in order to establish the second. And what God wants is for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Christ Jesus once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that can never take away sin. But our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of highest honor at God's right hand. There he waits until the enemies were humbled as a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering he perfected forever all of those whom he is making holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. First he says, 'This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I'll put my law on their hearts so that they will understand them, and I will write them on their minds so that they will obey them.' Then he adds, 'I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds.' Now when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. This is the new life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us through the sacred curtain by means of his death for us." Most world religions have one primary function, even as it's described in this passage, and that's to prepare you for eternity. Apart from Buddhists and atheists, who believe in annihilation at the end of life. Most others have the goal of some form of afterlife, like heaven or paradise. Hindus believe in an ultimate state they call nirvana, a place of no desires. But for you to be able to get there, you need to be recreated many times, reincarnated. For me, friends, nirvana sounds like punishment. Who wants to be in a place where there is no sense of wonder or desire to worship like we Christians believe about heaven? So, if the goal of religion is to prepare us for eternity, two matters are vital to understand. One is, what is heaven or paradise or utopia or cloud nine like? And what qualifies us to get there? Well, the first answer is pretty simple. Heaven is where God is. So the real question is, what's God like? And that answer, again, is pretty simple. The Bible tells us God is holy. The word holy means he is totally different from anything else we would ever experience. If you're not like him, you can't enter his presence because he is so different from everything we know, friends. That's what God like is. Now, the answer to the second question is a lot easier. So, if heaven is where God is, the only way to enter that place is to be holy yourself. So, the real question, and the one the writer of the book of Hebrews is trying to answer in this passage, is, how can we become holy? If we're on our way to heaven, how can we become holy? And his answer is simply this, and it's the title of my message today. Friends, only Jesus can make you holy. That's his answer. And he wants to say a couple of things about that. First of all, only Jesus can make you holy because, the first thing he says, all other religious systems have failed. In the first five verses of this chapter, the writer to the book of Hebrews summarizes much of what has been said in the last few chapters. Like any good teacher, he knows that repetition is a good form of driving a lesson home. So, just in case his readers didn't understand what he was trying to say, he repeats three main lessons he had just been writing about. First one is this. Other religious system, friends, are only a shadow. Verse 1 says, the old system in the law of Moses was only a shadow of the things to come, not the reality of the good things Christ has done for us. You see, he is repeating what he wrote about in chapter 8 and verse 5. Verse 5, it says this, they serve as a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. That is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. Friends, what the writer to the book of Hebrews is trying to say is, friends, everything else is just Mickey Mouse. It's just a pattern. It's not the real thing. In the opening verse of the book of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews is making us realize that Jesus is the real deal. He's the final thing. He says in the opening verses, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken by his Son. You see, friends, Jesus is the final revelation. Everything that else that goes before him and anything else that comes after him, friends, is fake. He's the real deal. Everything else is just a shadow. He's the sun, and all the other religions are just moons. They just reflect his light. Number two, other religious systems don't provide lasting cleansing. Verse 1 carries on, it says, the sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those that came to worship. If they could provide perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshippers would have been purified once for all time, but their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. Friend, there is only one fault with religious systems where your salvation is based on what you do. The simple fault is this. You never know when you have done enough. That's the weakness of every religious system that's based on laws. The more your salvation is based on following a set of rules, the more legalistic the religion becomes. So, for example, in Muslim countries, Sharia law is what rules. Laws upon laws upon laws upon laws. There's very little room for grace in religious systems other than Christianity, friends. Christianity is free. Even communism, which claims to be non-religious, is a system of laws. Crazy as it may seem, friends, no other religious system provides lasting cleansing. Number three. Other religious systems can only make you feel worse. Verse 3 says this, just the opposite happened. Those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. That is why Christ, when he came into the world, said, you did not want animal sacrifices or grain sacrifices. Let me illustrate it in this way. How many of you have ever made a New Year's resolution? I'm sure all of us at some point in our lives, particularly when we were young and idealistic, made a New Year's resolution. I was going to say young and stupid, but you know, that would not be so good these days. Unless, of course, I'm talking about myself. Maybe I should say young and foolish. Now, when you are, whether you're young and foolish is not the point, friends. The point is we make resolutions, and the issue is, what did you feel like when you failed? You see, friends, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Good deeds, friends, can never make you good because they never deal with what is on the inside. They're only surface. They only paint a good picture. They don't change the heart. So the first point the writer of the book of Hebrews is making, friends, Jesus is the only one who can make you holy because all other religious systems have failed. Friends, that's the problem. Only Jesus can make you holy. The second point he's making is only Jesus can make you holy because Jesus is the only one who is holy. Well, he makes 5 points about that. The first one is this: Jesus is the only one who is holy because Jesus is the only one who came from God. Verse 5 says, that is why Christ, when he came into the world, said, and then verse 6, you have given me a body so that I may obey you. Friends, the incarnation of God in Christ is one of the most incredible events in history. In fact, our world calendar revolves around it. I can never understand Christians who don't want to celebrate Christmas. Friends, the problem is not Christmas. The problem is the commercialization of Christmas. As Christians, friends, we must constantly work to be putting Christ back at the center of Christmas. We must remember Jesus is the reason for the season. But by keeping quiet about it, by not celebrating it, we are forfeiting the ability to draw the attention onto one of the most fundamental doctrines of Christianity. That is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Friend, God has come to earth in Christ so that he may make it possible for us to go with him into eternity. Only Jesus can make us holy because only he has come from God. Number two, Jesus is the only one who can make us holy because Jesus is the only one who was totally obedient. Every other religious leader, friends, as wonderful as he may be, as wonderful as his followers may want to claim him to be, was a failure. But verse 5 says, this is why Christ, when he came into the world, in verse 7 says, Jesus says, look, I have come to do your will, O God, just as it is written about me in the scriptures. Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or grain offerings or animals burnt on offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, although they are required by the law of Moses. Then he added, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to establish the second. You see, the writer of the book of Hebrews had made that point of Jesus' obedience earlier on in chapter 5. In chapter 5, in verse 7 to 9, he says this, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. When did he do that? He did that while he was being tempted, and he did that while he was on the cross. Then the verse carries on and it says, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. Friends, because Jesus fulfilled every requirement of the law of Moses in every way, he is able to replace the first covenant with a new covenant. A new covenant in his blood. And he invites us, friends, around the table to drink ye all of it. Every one of us is invited. Jesus is able to make everybody holy, friends, because Jesus was obedient even to the point of death. Thirdly, Jesus is the only one who is holy because only Jesus could offer himself as a substitute sacrifice. Verse 10 through 13 and 14 says this, And what God wants is for us to be made holy. How? By the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices to take away our sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of highest honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled as a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering he perfected forever all those whom he is making holy. Friends, Jesus is making us holy because he became the substitute sacrifice. You see, the scriptures tell us only something perfect could be sacrificed. The animal that was brought had to be one without blemish. Friends, Jesus is without blemish. Fourthly, Jesus is the only one who is holy because others testify to this truth as well. Verse 15 says, and the Holy Spirit also testifies that it is so. First he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I'll put my law on their hearts so that they will understand them, and I'll write them on their minds so that they will obey them. Friends, that's the work of the Spirit. How do we, in these days, know that Jesus is holy? We didn't see him. We haven't experienced him, you know, been there. We didn't see it. Friends, simply, we know Jesus is holy because the Holy Spirit has confirmed that truth in our hearts and our minds. He's confirmed it in our hearts because of the peace Jesus gives. Deep in our hearts we have peace. And that peace comes from the Spirit. And he's confirmed it in our minds because of the abundance of proof there is about Jesus. Friends, Jesus is the only one who is holy. Fifthly, Jesus is the only one who is holy because only Jesus can forgive. Verse 17 and 18 says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Now when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. Friends, on many occasions Jesus said those words, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to stone Jesus for this because in saying this, Jesus was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be holy. The difference is this, friends. The proof of his ability to forgive sins was his ability to perform a miracle at the same time he said those words, you're forgiven. He often would say, be healed and sin no more. Friends, Jesus is the only one who is holy because only Jesus can forgive sins. I love this picture that he never again remembers our sins and our lawless deeds. I've always said, it's not that God forgets. God can't forget, friends. We'd be in trouble if God could forget because he may forget that he saved us. What I always say, friends, is that God chooses never to hold our sin against us ever anymore. He knows what we've done. But he doesn't hold it against us because we're forgiven. So far we've learned that only Jesus can make us holy. because all other religious systems have failed, and because Jesus is the only one who is holy. The third point the writer is making is only Jesus can make us holy. Because, friends, only Jesus wants the best for you. You see, other religions want you to serve them so that you may serve them. But Jesus, friends, wants the best for us. Isn't that wonderful? The first thing Jesus, friends, does for us, friends, he makes it possible for us to enter heaven. Look at verse 19 says, he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. We can never enter heaven on the basis of our own merits. Friend, the only way you can enter into heaven is because of the blood of Jesus. He has made it possible through what he has done. Friends, he wants you to come. He said, I'm gone to prepare a place for you. And when I will come back, I will take you to be with me so that you may be where I am also. What great encouragement. Secondly, friends, Jesus wants the best for you even now. Verse 20 says, this is the new life-giving way that Christ has opened us for us through the sacred curtain, the means of his death for us. Friends, we have life abundant. Even now, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Friend, only Jesus wants the best for you. Other religions want to enslave you. Other religions only want you to do their bidding. But friends, Jesus comes to want the best for you. And because he wants the best for us, we respond and give him our all. It's not the other way around. Friends, only Jesus can make you holy. Only Jesus can make you holy, friends, because all other religious systems have failed. There is none that can give you peace of mind. Only Jesus can make you holy, friends, because only Jesus is the only one who is holy. Muhammad isn't. Buddha isn't. The Pope isn't. Don't care who you want to mention, isn't. Friends, only Jesus ever claimed to be God. Only Jesus proved that he alone is God. Friends, only Jesus can make you holy, because only Jesus wants the best for you. Let me remind you of that great hymn. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven sword which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I fly, to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Friend, only Jesus can make you holy. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that our goodness doesn't depend on upon ourselves. Our goodness and acceptance to the Father depends wholly upon you. Thank you that our sinful nature, Lord, wants our desire, that give us your nature, that we may want yours and your Father's. Save us, we pray, in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Nothing too in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. May that be the song of your heart this week, friends. Hang on to Jesus. Amen.